Is it a civil war or not? Debate has intensified this week over how to define the conflict in Iraq. On Sunday, Iraq's former Prime Minister Ayad Alawi told the BBC flatly it is.
Well, it's unfortunate that we are in a civil war. We are losing a day as an average 50 to 60 people throughout the country, if not more. If this is not civil war, then God knows what civil war is. I think Iraq is in the middle of a crisis. Maybe we have not reached the point of no return yet, but we are moving towards this point.
At a news conference yesterday, President Bush was asked about Alawi's remarks. He said he disagrees.
Listen, we all recognize that there is a violence, that there's sectarian violence. But the way I look at the situation is that the Iraqis took a look and decided not to go to civil war.
And today, Ayad Alawi modified his statement a bit. He told CNN it's not a full-blown civil war, but rather terrible sectarian violence, which is probably an early stage of civil war. In this part of the program, we'll take up the question with a professor who studies civil wars and with a former Marine who's written about insurgencies. We'll also hear from Iraqis about what the conflict means in their lives. We start in Baghdad.
Due to my job, I see a mixture of people who have been killed, both Shiites and Sunnis. My name is Qasim Mohan. I am 35 years old. I work in a Baghdad morgue. Before the war, when one body was brought, all the employees used to look through the windows and everyone used to ask what happened. But now, even when employees in the Minsi are killed, no one cares. Since the fall of the regime, we have 50 or 60 bodies coming each day. If things go on and parties keep seeking sectarianism, then we are devastated. I am an Iraqi, but if you ask me, I tell you that I am a Shiite. No one can neglect his creed.
My name is Umm Gailan. I'm 42 years old, a housewife. I want to do this interview with you, but I don't want my husband to know about it. He will kill me if he knows about it, because we are threatened, and my sons are threatened as well, because we are Sunnis. I had been living in my house for 17 years. I have many memories in the house, my rooms, my garden. I have planted some flowers. I'm sure now the flowers have blossomed because it's a spring season. But we left everything. We had to move from my house because we are getting threats. I changed the names of my son. Omar is now Ali. Gailan is now Hassan. These new names are Shiite names. I have to practice all the cultures and customs that the Shia do. I started doing everything they do, just to protect my sons and to enjoy security and stability.
Just some of the ways that the violence in Iraq has changed the lives of Iraqis. We hear more from Iraq in a bit. But first to Monica Duffy Toft. She teaches at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. She's also written a book on civil wars titled The Geography of Ethnic Violence. I asked her if she considers what's going on in Iraq a civil war.
Absolutely, I think it's a civil war, and I think it's been a civil war for at least 2 years. Both sides are organized. People are being targeted and assassinations. Absolutely, I think it's a civil war.
The president yesterday and certainly other members of the administration have said this, that Iraqis looked over the brink and stepped back from the brink. In other words, thought about civil war and have stopped short of that.
Mm-hmm. I hope that's true. It might be true, but I'm not convinced from what I'm seeing and what I'm reading. Within the Interior Ministry, you've got indications of death squads where you have large numbers of Sunni men being tortured and killed. And so there may be some in the highest levels of the Iraqi government who would prefer not to go to civil war. But there are many others who, it's not necessarily their preference, but they don't really see a choice. So the evidence seems to indicate otherwise, is what I would say.
Why do you think it becomes such a loaded thing, the decision of whether to call this a civil war or something else, an insurgency, for example?
I think for two reasons. One is that it makes it seem as if we've not succeeded, that we have not achieved victory in Iraq, if we now declare that there is a civil war, and that somehow the sacrifices that the American men and women have made over there, and of course the Iraqi population, has resulted in a bad thing, which is a civil war. Related to that is the second reason is it really harms our legitimacy over there and, the cause that we're trying to establish stability, and then we hope down the road a democracy. And obviously you can't have a democracy if you have large-scale violence going on. And so I think the sense that it ends up harming that sense of legitimacy and then also making it seem as if the sacrifice was for naught, that we were not achieving the goals that we set out to.
If the administration were to come to you and say, Professor Tuft, help us out here, do we stay? Do we stay for the long haul? Do we scale down pretty quickly? What would you tell them?
I would say that we start scaling back, and we're already doing this. We guarantee the external security of Iraq. We tell the Syrians, we tell the Iranians, reinforce to the Saudis that we are not going to let this spill over into a regional war, and we guarantee that sort of security. But at this stage of the game, I think we're going to have to let the Iraqis sort this out. We cannot impose an order on this society. I think this has been shown. In a sense, what we're trying to do is impose a negotiated settlement, but in order to have a negotiated settlement, you have to have an agreement and accommodation among the various parties. And we're finding that we just don't have this. And the more and more the killing continues, the mosques are attacked, the bombs are blown up, and the suicide bombers attack, the more you're going to have greater intensity and greater instances of revenge for each of the events.
That's Monica Duffy Toft, Associate Professor of Public Policy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government.
I think the civil war has already started from deep down inside. It's not clear to everyone, but it is there. My name is Sarah. I'm a 23-year-old engineer. I'm an Arab Christian. It's not like the civil war of Lebanon, because there it was in a more explicit manner and more public. But here in Iraq, it's hidden. There are killings, assassinations, kidnappings from all sects against each other.
My name is Assam. I am 50 years old, and I am a teacher. I don't think that a civil war will take place, because people are living together in a harmonious manner. There is a strange mixture between the Iraqis in the north, south, or the center of Iraq. It is difficult to inflame a civil war. There are attempts, but I think they are in vain. If people have common sense and the formation of the national government is complete, a government that all take part in, then I don't think such a thing would happen. I am between this and that. I am secular Sunni.
Iraqis talking about the conflict in their country. Colonel Thomas Hammes does not call it a civil war. He's a former Marine Corps officer and author of the book The Sling and the Stone, about guerrilla warfare in the 21st century.
Any insurgency is almost by definition a civil war. It's two groups within the same territory competing for control of that territory. Now, that's not an international law definition, but it's a common sense definition. Whether this is a civil war or not, it depends upon where you fall on that. Obviously, to the person living in Baghdad, with people shooting, it feels like there's a civil war on. It's not quite a civil war yet from our point of view, because there is still a central government we can support. And as long as that is there, and as long as the Iraqi armed forces continue to do things like they did after the mosque bombing, where they went to the street to calm things down rather than to heat things up, then that gives us a legitimate partner to cooperate with. If it breaks into a full-out civil war, where there's no longer a central government trying to hold things together, but a Shia group, a Sunni group, a Kurd group, then the question we have to ask, who do we back? And that's where it becomes, from a practical point of view, I think that's where the definition becomes important. What does it translate to in action on the street, and who you're supporting in what is essentially a political struggle?
Is there, do you think, a clear path here for the U.S. government and the U.S. military?
Yes, and I think Ambassador Calzada and General Casey have laid it out with a clear hold-build strategy, where you clear an area of insurgents, hold it, and then bring in and build. there are two problems with the strategies that currently exist. We have insufficient troops to execute it for the whole country. That's one problem. The second problem is the administration is not supporting its own plan. For instance, clear, hold, build, but about 2 months ago, they announced unilaterally, with no encouragement from anybody, that we were cutting off all funds for further building. Well, so does that make it clear, hold, hope? I mean, you've got to have this third phase of the strategy. They don't provide sufficient forces. The emphasis is supposed to be the Iraqi armed forces, but the U.S., the Pentagon has not provided sufficient numbers of trained advisors. We don't have the formal advisor schools we should have. We don't have setups to provide them with the translators they need, the equipment they need. You'll notice all the pictures of the Iraqi police and army. They're still riding around in thin-skinned vehicles. This is 2 years after we've said we have to have armored vehicles. So all of these things, the administration has failed to support its own strategy.
Does it matter what we call this, whether it's an insurgency, a civil war, or something else?
Again, I think for the international lawyer types, it matters. From a practical point on the ground, for a counterinsurgent, you treat the patient kind of the same way. I mean, it's like a disease. You've got certain symptoms that you've got to control. And when the symptoms are controlled, the patient can start to get better. So the first thing we have to do is provide security. Whether there's a civil war or an insurgency, you have to provide security for the people. Only when they have a secure place to live and some hope for the future will they start to support the government. And that's how you expand this until the government has firm control of its own territory. And that could be a very long time.
How long might it be?
An optimist says an insurgency lasts 7 to 9 years. A pessimist would say 30 plus.
That's Colonel Thomas Hammes, author of The Sling and the Stone. Finally, one more voice from Iraq.
أبو عمر أنا 36 سنة بالعمر
My name is Abu Omar. I'm 36. I live in Amaria, west of Baghdad, the Sunni Triangle, as they call it.
ما نشوف مقبل لحرب الأهلية.
As far as what I'm seeing, we're about to face a civil war. The whole atmosphere tells you this. You see some people with their furniture leaving the area. Today I was in Amaria buying some groceries. And I saw three cars filled with furniture, some were leaving and some were coming. We started making jokes. The cars that were leaving are Shiites, and those who are coming are Sunnis.
Ani Sunni.
I am a Sunni.
The voices of Iraqis were gathered by Isra al-Rubai, Farah Kassab, and Saad Qasim.